are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've returned to Studio B. We're in the bunker, man, breaking it down for the Friday edition of Game Time Decisions. We're talking football, football, and more football. We got the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's going to join us. We're going to talk about the NFL wildcard games. We'll talk a little hot roster fantasy football. Paul Bovey's going to join us. VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey will join us. We're going to talk about the NFL wildcard games. Steve Merrill, Pro Sports Info, one of the coverage experts, will join us. This is like it's like a court case, all right? And these guys are the jury. We want to get multiple opinions on these games. I really haven't paid attention to anything else that's going on in the sports world this week besides the fact that the Columbus Blue Jackets keep on winning hockey games. And we had a couple of great legendary hockey guests on the show this week. But we're dialed in for more football. So like Krusty the Clown once so eloquently stated, no monologue. My feet hurt. Roll the tape. Gold Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and we're excited to welcome the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart into Studio B. We're kicking it in the podcast booth this afternoon due to the 15th anniversary of Sports Rage. We've got a road trip. We've got a live show tonight in Montreal. So if you're in the area, be there. Champs Sports Bar on St. Laurent Street.
Oh, you're going to Champs.
Yeah, we're
wow.
kicking it at Champs. The champ returns to Champ Sports Bar in Montreal this evening. But Cam, a lot of football to get to this weekend. We got fantasy football. It's the playoffs, but fantasy continues. DFS, hot roster, DraftKings, and, of course, betting on the wild card games. And I know I see you've got, man, you've got a lot. You've got more teasers than a strip club.
Yeah,
no one, written on this sheet right here.
What did the wise man say to us, too? Hey, guys. How do they keep the lights on in Vegas? Teasers.
Yeah. Like I said, I always wish.
But they look so good. They look
I always
so
wish
good.
I could have been in the room when the teaser was invented.
Yeah.
And me and Cam know guys, like the type of guys that would have invented them. And I can just imagine him like sitting around like in a hotel room one night laughing. Hey, guys, you know what would be really good? If we put on 7 points to each game, but they have to win two and we give them crappy odds. They'll think they're going to win. They never will. And we'll call it a teaser since we're teasing them. Like, you know, like, okay, like a teaser. Like, well, how come it's not an add-on?
I know.
A teaser. Like, a teaser?
Yeah.
Like, it's saying, screw you. That's what it's saying. We're going to tease you. You think it sounds good. I've never heard a freaking teaser that doesn't sound good before the game, Cam.
Exactly. You know what the best thing about a teaser, too, is? It's basically saying, hey, I know that you suck at gambling. You're not confident enough to bet one game individually. So you must put two games together.
It's really betting. You know what the best is, too, when people say, I don't like betting parlays. And that's me.
I'm parlays, like, actually, you know what? Parlays offer value compared
to
teaser.
I'm not a big parlay guy, two-team parlay guy. What's a teaser? It's a two-team parlay with reverse crap odds.
Parlays give you real odds.
I can't believe after all these years, I've come to the conclusion teasers are terrible.
I got
to
be honest.
And I'm talking about playing a teaser this week.
You know what? I honestly want to thank Morenci and me and you. We're both sick and we need help. And I'm going to look into the camera here and tell you, we need to have a session like a Clockwork Orange to get brainwashed and to not do dumb things in 2017, like all these multiple teasers. I got one more left for football this week. And if it doesn't win, I'm never doing a three or four game teaser again.
Right, I don't mind. Yeah, listen, for the record, I don't mind the 7-point teaser in the NFL playoffs in certain circumstances. We're talking about, what's bad?
The three-game 10-point teaser.
The sweetheart teasers suck, but also the four same-game teaser. Oh, I want to get in the same game. Oh, and I'll force aside in the total. And listen, I'm the king of losing money on these 10-point sweetheart teasers. I never give them to you guys, you know, but I play them in my own life. Lose all the time. Then I played the 13-point teasers. Lose all the time. Like I said, I had a 13-point teaser with the Dolphins plus 7.5 last Sunday against the Patriots, plus 20.5. The Dolphins were about to go in. They fumbled the ball. The Patriots ran it all the way back down to their 7-yard line, scored with 3 minutes left, and then even though they were already up by 20, went for two.
And it really makes no sense.
To screw my 20.5-point teaser. And I'm like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah, no.
So tell me what your can't miss 10 and 13 point teasers are.
It's pretty simple, Morenci. We're going on every home team in a 4-game 13 point teaser.
Can't lose. I love the
if
sound
it doesn't,
of it.
If it, no, this is documented. Remember, if it doesn't work, we can't do sweethearts and 13 so points
done.
Anymore.
Yeah, you're
like, no, we'll do 2-gamers because okay. they still make sense.
So you've got a 13 point teaser.
Houston? Plus 9.5
Yes.
At home.
Sounds great.
Seattle plus 6
How can it lose?
Pittsburgh plus 3
Awesome.
And either Green Bay plus 8.5 or Giants 17.5 whatever you prefer.
I want to put $1 million on this teaser.
So
right
do
now.
I. I wish I had. What do I got? Pizzaville coupons? No, I got
you
no money.
You listen to this teaser. You repeat that. You got the Houston Texans plus
9.5
9.5
Plus 6 at home.
Is Pittsburgh. Detroit going in there and they're going to beat them by more than 6?
Pittsburgh plus 3. And the old split, either Green Bay plus 8.5 or Giants plus 17.5 middle job. Renzi, if this 4-game 13-point teaser doesn't win, we can't do. You know what? Let's make a commitment. We're done. We got to get off 3- and 4-game teasers after this. But 2-gamers are okay. Right?
Yeah, so yeah, my. My
no, honestly,
last
think about your gambling
teasers.
Losses. It's always been on teasers, not straight up games, right?
Yeah, teasers have been killing me.
But I love this teaser.
Killing me.
It looks so good on paper.
Yeah. You know how many times I've liked the side of a game and said, well, I'll bet the side, but also I'll take the side in the teaser because, yeah. And like you said earlier, Cameron, I think it's a good way. Teaser just means you're not really freaking that confident in the original bet.
Know what the problem is? Yeah, no. And I know what you do, too, because you're like me, you're an action junkie. You like, really, probably out of the two things, one a lot. But then you're guessing, is the game going to go over 35 or under 49? You know what I mean? You're just basically clicking a button. You don't really know what the thing is. Usually like one thing, but you're forcing yourself to win both. It's a stupid way to gamble. If this doesn't win, we're done.
All right. So
I'm putting my foot down, Morenci, like we've done in the past. Putting it down.
You're also going to be making a million other bets this weekend.
True.
So
we're already on Clemson.
Yeah, I like Clemson.
Go Clemson.
I like Clemson plus the points. I think Clemson can win on the money.
I have them at plus 500,
great.
Too.
Bet.
Yeah, now it's hedge time. See what we can do. But I don't want to bet on Alabama because I hate them.
Great bet. All right. So as far as the Raiders and the Texans are concerned, for people that don't play 13-point teasers, Cam, what's your take on the game?
Slight lean to the Texans. And that
Raiders jersey's looking pretty sharp.
The Raiders in their old white, I like that. That's a nice jersey. I got a
helmet here.
Want to hear the best, though? On Hot Roster, the show that I do, they have a matchup, Gabe. It's Amari Cooper versus Sebastian Janikowski. I would take Janikowski in the matchup because that's basically what they're telling you. Field goals, no touchdowns.
You gotta take, come on. Yeah, I would take Amari Cooper.
I'm taking Seabass.
You know, okay, listen.
Three field goals is nine points. Yeah, so he's got to get basically without a touchdown
and
over 90 yards.
It's a non-PPR format.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it's not as easy as you think, hey, buddy?
Okay, so I'll tell you right now
about.
Then. Let's put it in these terms
okay?
If you think that Amari Cooper is going to get outscored by the field goal kicker, then you must think the Houston Texans are going to win this game.
I do. I'm going to tell you, I'm not confident in your boy El Terriblo. I know he's a bum. But
terrible.
But Connor Cook on the road, too. I see lots of field goals in this game, but I see Houston getting it done, squeaking out a win.
How about the under 37?
I like the under. I like the under.
And I hate to say this right now. We're just talking about teasers.
Oh, please. Oakland to the under. Is that what you're thinking?
Houston to the under.
Yeah, Houston to the under. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did we?
Houston plus 3.5 under 44. Can't lose.
Yeah. Can't lose. Nope.
Well, which leads us into the next game, which leads us to another nice teaser.
Yeah, I know.
Seattle to the over.
Who wants to lay 8?
Seattle minus 1 over 37.
Hey!
Sounds damn good
to
me.
Who wants to lay 8 when you can lean 1 and go over 36, baby? Sounds too good to be true. I like Seattle. I think Seattle kicks Detroit's ass.
Yeah.
The thing about Seattle is, at the end of the year, sure, they played bad against San Francisco and Arizona. Teams were carving them. But now it's playoff time at home. They're a different animal there. I worry about Detroit. They're not that good.
All right. Pittsburgh beat up on everybody down the stretch.
They did.
Pretty much. 7 straight wins, 5-1-1 against the spread in their last 7 games. It's a rarity that the Steelers are actually healthy coming into the playoffs, and this is as healthy as they've been in past years. They have the big 3 with Big Ben, Le'Veon, and Bell. One thing you know from hosting Hot Roster this year, Cam, is though the dichotomy of the Steelers offense on the road as opposed to home.
Oh, night and day.
Yeah, but they are at home this week. They lost by 15 to the Dolphins earlier this year.
That was a different team. Big Ben got, remember, Ben was hurt in that game.
I don't like laying points, but I'll lay the points here. I think Pittsburgh kills them.
See, that's the thing. See,
not, you know, but 37-21, 34-17.
See, Marazzi, you're already, it's 2017, you're already listening. You're not saying, hey, man, I'm going to knock Pittsburgh down to 3.5 and find something else.
No,
right?
No.
If you believe they're going to beat the Dolphins, they're probably going to kick their ass, right?
Dolphins are 1-14 against the spread in their last 15 playoff losses. Which
here's
means
the thing.
In the playoffs, when they lose, they get drilled.
If they stop Ajayi early, it's going to be an absolute disaster. But I will tell you something. I do like on Hot Roster, there's a prop in there. Basically, they have Matt Moore, 13 fantasy points. Think about it. If Pittsburgh gets
over
the lead,
under 13 fantasy points.
In garbage time, he's going to have to throw, get yards. I'm telling you, it's a great pick. So if you can come up with three other games, there might be some money to be made there.
Matt Moore is my DraftKings quarterback this week. $5,100.
Cheap.
You know, only 15.2 points last week against the Patriots, but he was 24-34, two touchdown passes.
Eight touchdowns, three picks, buddy. He's the same He's the same guy as Tannehill. Why are people freaking out? If Tannehill was the quarterback on DraftKings, how much money do you think he'd be? I can tell you, it'd be a hell of a lot more than $5,100.
I know. You know,
and they're the same guy.
Yeah, and because of the money that I spent, didn't spend on a QB.
You got a real running back.
I got Le'Veon Bell, Jordy Nelson, and Odell Beckham in the same
lineup. I like that.
And I know, and we'll get to the DraftKings stuff later. I wanted to get Antonio Brown.
I'd be careful with Jennings, though, Gabe. Paul Perkins is going to lay out a lot of touches, don't you think?
He does, and Jennings had 18 carries last week.
Yeah, he still gets his.
Yeah.
Perkins is playing better, though.
Perkins gets
tough.
The catches and stuff, Campy. Yeah. You know what? Jennings, I see him getting maybe
goal
a touchdown.
Yeah, the goal line
smashing
stuff.
It
yeah.
in.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Smashing it in. All right, which leads us into this Giants and Packers game. Man, this one's really tough because you can make a strong argument for both teams, but now that it's up to 4.5, it's really hard to make an argument that you want to lay 4.5 points in
this game.
That's
the thing. I'm kind of worried about Green Bay covering. Why did they make it 4.5, not just at 4? Like, there's this extra half point there. We know about the Packers. They're on fire, but the Giants got a great defense, man. I'm telling you, I want to take the Giants. Like, the thing is, you said it earlier, Eli Manning. Which Manning shows up? If it's bad Eli, we're in big trouble because you know Aaron Rodgers, he's hot
he's
right now.
He's inconsistent,
He's in
Eli
the
Manning.
Zone.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is like, he's a, you know what, let's give this man credit
too.
This is the thing, Gabe. He played hurt all year. The offensive line was banged up. It's easy for Dallas because they have the best offensive line to be like Ezekiel Elliott and Prescott. Sure, you're going to play well. You have the best damn line in the league. Aaron Rodgers had to do it.
And remember
with the
earlier in the
line.
Year, he's being called out, unnamed teammates.
Yeah, I know.
He's not a leader.
Oh,
and
he's
all this
a leader,
stuff.
All right.
And he came out and said, everyone chill. We're going to run the table.
And he did.
And
he
did.
Backs
he's
it
done,
up.
He's done it himself. You know, he didn't even have a running back after that.
I know. Like, Ty Montgomery, welcome to the show.
No. He's playing his good football. Last 6 weeks, 18 touchdown passes, no interceptions.
Imagine Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. How crazy that would be. It would be stupid.
No, you're right. But that doesn't mean that he's going to win by 5 this week.
That's correct, Gabe. I don't know. I'm looking for a way to take the dog and the Giants.
You know, it's pretty crazy. I'm actually pulling for the Packers, and I rarely do.
You're like my fast-talking Mike, hey, all the Packer fans.
No, you know, it's funny. You know me. I've always disliked
them. No, you never liked the Packers.
But now they've upset me. But Eli Manning has cost me so much money with his, you know, his doofusness.
Yeah.
He's just a goofball, and he pisses me off.
Yeah, that mop-top haircut.
But I got to tell you, this is why I'm torn. I got to take Eli Manning into 4.5 points.
Yeah, the points are very, very
intriguing. I think Green Bay could win by 3, but 5 is a lot of points in a game like this.
How
man.
Does Green Bay's secondary stop the Giants' attack? Eli Manning, like, that's the thing. You talk about injuries, it's tough. Green Bay.
Yeah, that's a problem for them.
It's a big problem.
Look, they gave up that Hail Mary at the end of the game against Detroit because they didn't have any healthy bodies
that's
left.
That's correct.
The Randall kid's trying to play as a practice this week. He's not looking good. Shields out. The Quentin Rollins kid got taken to the hospital in a stretcher in an ambulance the other night. He's not playing this week. You know, they're shredded. Like, they don't have one guy that can match up. Like, who's going to match up one-on-one with Odell Beckham?
Nobody.
So then they're going to have to put two guys. And then that's going to mean Perkins. They can just throw a little dump screen pass to Perkins, or Shepard's going to be open, or Will Tye's going to be open over the middle of the field. Green Bay have some matchup problems. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to win this game again for them.
Exactly. They're basically
against the best secondary in the NFL.
And I don't see, I told you, I actually like the under in this game. I don't think it's going to be touchdown heavy like everyone thinks. I think it's going to go under the number. You said 23-20. That's under the number.
All right, Cam. So, hot roster, a little fantasy talk. What do you got for us?
I got some great stuff at hot roster. I told you the Matt Moore over under 13. You got to put that in your ticket.
I like the over there.
Think about it. Even
like
if
the over.
Hey, think about it, people. Even if Miami's down, what are they going to do? They're going to have to throw. And one thing Matt Moore does well, he throws a good long ball. Take a look at his touchdowns. Over 50 yards in a lot of his touchdowns. Him and Devontae Parker have a relationship. Hey, all those Miami receivers.
Kenny Stills
looks great. Oh, yeah, he's going to be a DFS
touchdown machine.
Yeah, I know. Like, Stills is a DFS monster.
It's crazy. He's got touchdowns.
Look at him. TD.
1, 2, 3,
I love Kenny
4.
Stills.
5 out of his last 6 games got a touchdown.
I even like Jarvis Landry against Golden Tate in the matchup because, hey, Landry versus New England, 12 targets, 9 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. Him and Matt Moore have a relationship.
Playing from behind against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so those are matchups I look for on hot roster. I think that Moore over 13 is one of the best picks out there.
I like it a lot. And Cam, finally in closing, because you and I won't speak before the national championship game on Monday night. You and I, well, whatever, no
secret. Locked in. We're locked in with Clemson, buddy.
Clemson Tigers, plus the points, money line. You've got a future on him, even.
I do, yeah. 5-1 before the playoffs started, so you can do a lot of different things. Morency, I actually think the game goes under the number, but I like Clemson to cover, and I think they can win outright.
The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Always a pleasure, Cam.
All the best, buddy. Have a wicked time at your show, man. Wish I could be there. I got to do my radio show with Oakley, but congratulations to Clam Chowder and everybody, too.
Yeah, our 15th anniversary tonight, live at Champs Sports Bar in Montreal, Quebec. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's welcome VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey to the program. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Great, Gabe. It's fantastic to be here. Always a pleasure.
So, Paul, normally we talk some NBA basketball and whatever big games are coming up tonight or in the following days, etc. But let's focus in on the NFL wild card, little championship football talk. We spoke earlier in the week about the opening numbers. And, you know, there's been a little line movement, and then the numbers went back down. So they've sort of been bouncing around back and forth. There's always going to be a discrepancy between the Las Vegas numbers and what, you know, most people are living in the offshore world, et cetera. But, you know, I'm seeing 4 for the most part right now for the Houston Texans. At least offshore, although there are a lot of 3.5s, Raiders, Texans, total 37 right now. You've had a week to digest this game. What's your take?
Well, first of all, this is the lowest total in 2 years on a playoff game. And it's interesting because the public is actually going to the low side. There's been 13 games since 2003 that have been 37 or right around there. The public has always gone high. And now they're coming in low. So it's interesting because sometimes people want to be against the public sentiment. But the line also opened up at 3. As you said, 3.5, 4. You know, I look back to that game played in Mexico City. You can make an argument that the Texans were jobbed. And I know we discussed that on a show right after the game. They had a few calls go against them. They were penalized over 100 yards, and the Raiders, even with Derek Carr, couldn't get a running game going. And you can easily say Derek Carr is going to stretch the field, and this quarterback is certainly not going to do that. Murray had, I think it was 32 yards, 12 carries, but the Texans were able to run the ball. Lamar Miller was very successful. I think he had 130 yards on the ground, so you got to give the edge here to the Texans.
No, you really do. And I'm seeing right now 3.5 across the board, actually, in Vegas. It's settling in at 3.5. And, you're never in a hurry to lay 3.5 points with a Brock Osweiler-led football club. You know, the Texans have a league low 23 offensive touchdowns, league low 5.8 yards per passing attempt. But the last time Connor Cook started a football game, he got shut out by Alabama last year. Paul, and this Houston Texans defense is damn good. Everyone's talking about the Giants defense and the Giants secondary, but nobody gave up as little yards as the Texans did this year. And interesting stat about the Texans as well. The best defensive team in the NFL on first down. People had the least success on first down against these guys, which, you know, that's going to put Connor Cook in second and third and long situations. It's going to be a problem for them.
Agreed. And if they have no running game, it's going to be all the more problem. Brock Osweiler, he's going to be asked to be nothing more than a game manager here. In other words, Gabe, just don't screw the damn thing up.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, I know this is someone that had Amari Cooper on a high-stakes fantasy football team. Amari Cooper struggled down the stretch, even with Derek Carr at the quarterback position. So, you know, I don't like, you know, it's not like he's going to carry the ship suddenly. He's, I don't know if he's not healthy or what the deal is. You know, it could be volatile. Yeah, you know, but I like the Texans in this game as well. Detroit and Seattle sitting at 8 right now. You and I talked about this game earlier in the week. You were liking the underdog. Anything change your mind? Have you bought off? Have you bought back? What's your take?
I still like the dog, Gabe. It's so difficult to support this Seattle team. Yeah, I know the Lions come in limping. They've lost three games in a row. Giants, Dallas, yeah. Green Bay.
Oh, you like this, Paul? But, you know what's interesting? The last time a team lost three times in a row and went into the playoffs, 2009, the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. I just figured I'd throw that out there.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Although, surely that last game of the season, they probably had home field locked up at that point. And I do remember that because I had a future ticket on the Saints that year, and I did not hedge against the Packers, and I somehow managed to cash. It was a miracle. Thank you, Brett Favre. But anyway, no, nothing's I'm not getting off my position, Gabe. They found a little bit of a running game in Zach Zenner. And although he's kind of 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust, he has hauled in 10 passes in the last three games. So they become kind of a dual threat there. And if you look at Seattle, they have struggled against the pass. Kaepernick, 17 to 22. Jameis, 21 to 28. I'm coming in with a Lion team that getting 7 or 8 points would have covered that number in every game except Dallas and the Giants. And they outgained New York that game, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I'm really torn on this game. I can't lay points. I'm not laying points with Seattle. I'm like you. I'm anti-Seattle. I think if Seattle survives this game, and let's say they win, they don't cover this number, they survive this game, I think they're losing in Atlanta the following week. I think Matt Ryan will kill them. Like, he'll shred them apart. But, you know, it's such a tough game, this game, you know, with Detroit. With Detroit struggling down the stretch, with Detroit being 0-10 all time on the road in playoff history, it scares me. I do think there's going to be some points put up on the board in this game, though. I like the over 43.5, Paul.
I kind of look to the other side. Seattle team has.
Yeah.
Well, they struggled. I mean, what?
Well, you know what? Detroit are 6-10 to the under this year, and Seattle are actually the ones 9-7 to the over, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, you do make a point, but. Going down the stretch, this Seahawk team, they've struggled. 5 points against Tampa Bay, 10 points against the Packers. Yeah, 24 against the Rams, big deal. I'm sure the Rams gifted them a few. I'm not sold on this offense. I'm not sold on the defense. And you're right, laying 8 points in the NFL, playoff time, that's tough. But I feel as though 8 points is value with the dog.
You know, it's funny, the only big favorite that I actually do like this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they lost 30-15 to the Dolphins earlier this year in week 6. I've talked about it all week. You know, Big Ben, 189-yard passing yards only. Everyone thinks he got hurt in that game. He did, but he only missed one series. It was at the end of the game. And two interceptions. Le'Veon Bell was held to 53 yards rushing. But I see the roles being reversed. We see this Miami Dolphin defense has some high-priced talent on the line. You know, they make sexy, flashy plays at times, and they will get to the quarterback. But at the same point in time, you know, the 30th-ranked rushing defense in the NFL, over 140 yards a game on the ground. Their secondary is starting to show holes down the stretch. You know, Brady picked them apart last week. You know, I expect a heavy dose of Le'Veon Bell, who might be, you know, the best player in football right now. You know, generally, I'm never in a hurry to be laying 10 points, but I do think Pittsburgh do cover this number. I think they win like 34-21, 37-20, 34-17. But generally, I think Pittsburgh can score. Although, you know, I think Miami will put a couple of points up on the board. I know it's bad weather, but nevertheless, I think there's points scored, and I think Pittsburgh covers.
Gabe, 10 points, Pittsburgh Steelers, are they really worth 10 points? Miami outgained them by 175 yards in that first game. Ajayi ran for over 200 yards. Mind you, had a 62-yard scamper in there, so the numbers were pumped up. But I think part of the key here is, and you're right, the secondary for Miami has shown some holes. Byron Maxwell has been out, and he's a key defender in that defensive backfield. And without him, they're going to struggle to tighten coverage on Antonio Brown. But I have to tell you, you're laying 10 points to a team that pretty much dominated them the first time around. And I feel as though if Miami is healthy and if they have Maxwell for this game, there's no way I'm laying 10 points with a Steeler team that has definite defensive liabilities and have shown that this year. And I don't think their offense is firing on all cylinders either. I give them credit for that Raven game. Coming back, winning that, but mind you, and we discussed this again, Jimmy Smith was out for the Ravens, so their secondary was depleted.
And finally, in closing with the NFL wild card, the Giants and the Packers. The Giants, a team that's caused you and I, they've brought me some joy over the years. You know, I was on both Super Bowl wins on the money line, etc. But at the same point in time, you know, the Giants, I grew up watching them. One of these teams that, you know, basically for the last 40 years, they've screwed me over. Eli Manning, you know, he's Eli Manning. He's just so frustrating. He's a goofball. He's a doofus. Yet he's 8-1 against the spread in his last 9 playoff games. I kicked around some numbers earlier. The two times that Eli won the Super Bowl, we all know he went through Green Bay. But the two times he won the Super Bowl, he had 15 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He's been in the playoffs, 3 other times. So 5 times in the playoffs, 2 Super Bowls. The other 3 times, it was 1 and done, 2 touchdown passes, 6 picks. You and I have talked about this year. Eli's actually the weak link of this Giants team. But you got to beat up Green Bay secondary. I don't see how they match up with Odell Beckham. And then even if they double-team him, then it's going to leave Shepard open. Perkins can do some work. Aaron is red hot right now. I think we got a close football game, but I'm leaning with the 4.5 points here with Eli.
Yeah, it's tough, Gabe, to lay points with this Giant team just because of their defense. They'll keep you close. Now, again, we did discuss this in that the Giants have won 6 games this year where they scored less than 20 points, which is miraculous. And yeah. Perkins has come around the last few games, and you wonder, is it Perkins or was it the fact that they played the Redskins, who, and you mentioned Jonathan Stewart just ran right through him, Howard ran right through him. So will the Giants have a running game on Sunday? You know what? I'm not sold on that. And if they don't have a running game, it's up to Eli to just drop back, throw the football, and we know how dangerous that can be. Because yeah. Eli, as you said, he is the weak link of the New York Giants. I'm not going against Aaron Rodgers right now. This is the best player in the game. I mean, he had that Detroit team so thoroughly confused because even when they clamped down on the receivers, he would just scamper off 6, 7, 8 yards, and you can't even hit him. Because he's smart enough to get down or run out of bounds. Can't get a clean shot on the guy.
Yeah, I know. I wish we can go on and on, Paul, and join the conversation, but we've got to be quick on the way out here. We won't speak before Monday's national championship game. You know, I'll tell you, man, we've spoken to a lot of people on the program this week, all week talking about the championship game. We haven't had one guy say they like Bama to kill Clemson yet. Not one guy. And in fact, everyone's like, I like Clemson on the money line. I like Clemson plus the points. There's been debate as far as the total, but we haven't had one guy, either handicapper or media type, pick Alabama to win yet.
Well, Gabe, here I is, because I think Alabama is going to crush this team. And I'm going to tell you why. Clemson Tigers, you look at them when they face the likes of Vatek and Louisville and FSU and Pitt. Their secondary was exposed. Now, Ohio State couldn't do it. Barrett wasn't good enough, and I believe Sarkisian will devise a game plan. He'll hit that tight end repeatedly during this game. He'll have over 75, 80 yards, and they're going to do what it takes to score between 35 to 40 points. That's going to get them a win, and it's going to get them a cover.
And it sounds if they do that, then the game's going to go over the number because it's only 50 and a half right now.
Probably. Yeah. I just can't see Clemson stopping this Alabama team. Now, people tend to draw on the most recent event.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
What do they see
so
last?
I think they're going to be bamboozled into thinking that Clemson actually has a good defense on the strength of that 31-0 whitewash of the Buckeyes.
Paul Bovey, you can find out his final selections over the weekend. Go over to VegasInsider.com, and you'll find him on the Cappers page, and you'll see all his documented picks and his record and everything else in between. But thanks for sharing your insight with us, Paul. It's always a pleasure, my man. We look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us, all right? We take a quick break. We keep the train rolling. Steve Merrill joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. You know what? We've reversed the order on the program today, actually. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joined us first. Then Paul Bovey stepped up and in, VegasInsider.com. And now Steve Merrill joins us, who normally bats leadoff on the program. But it's a busy time of the year right now. And Steve's doing multiple radio hits. And, Steve, I'm hosting multiple shows. And I had a 15-minute break in between two shows today, and I did a radio hit during my 15-minute break. And it's funny, similar to you, basically about 13 minutes after I will end this taping today, I'm going to be doing another radio hit. But better to be busy than be dead, and it's better to have people actually want you to come on their show than not care at all, I guess. Right, Steve?
Yeah, no question about it, Gabe. There's a worse thing than being busy, being called upon.
No, exactly. A lot of people are like, I got to do this radio hit and stuff. I always think, don't worry, Morenci. One day there'll be a day when no radio station's calling you for your opinion on the game. So live it up, man, as long as they're calling, you take the call. So we appreciate you taking our call, NFL wild card. Man, I've broken these games down. I haven't talked about anything else all week, Steve. Like, really. I had two hockey guests on, all right? But basically, it's been these four football games and then the college game. You and I will talk about the Clemson-Bama game on Monday night. We'll get your take on the Youngstown State-James Madison matchup in a couple of minutes. But let's start off with the Raiders and the Texans right now, sitting at 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, just so much uncertainty in this game. It's like almost like handicapping a preseason game, isn't it?
Or a bowl game, Steve. It's almost like we're talking about these early Old Dominion versus Eastern Michigan bowl games or something.
Yeah, but at least those games we have something to go upon. I mean, this is the first time in NFL history since the Super Bowl began 51 years ago that an NFL playoff team will be starting a quarterback who has never started a regular season game. It's never happened in the past 51 years. Connor Cook played last week as the backup against Denver, but he's yet to ever start a game. This is an Oakland team that their games averaged 50 points a game this season, and they still went over in 11 of the 16 games, and now the total's 37. So it just shows how crazy this game is. Texans do have a good defense, so you would think Cook's going to probably struggle on the road in an NFL playoff game. But then again, the Texans have such a bad offense, I don't know if they can take advantage of the weak Raider defense. Just an ugly, ugly, ugly game. There's a reason why this is the early kickoff game on Saturday, as basically every Houston-Texan playoff
like
game has ever been.
Yeah, they got shut
every
out
Bengals
last year.
Every Bengals-Texan game. It's always the Bengals and Texans always play the early game, whoever's involved.
Yeah, you're right, and the Steelers are always on. Usually the Steelers are on the Saturday night. But this year they get the 1 o'clock Sunday. But yeah, you're right about that. You know, Steve, it's hard. You know, it's hard to take the under in today's era. But with this being stated, to me, it's under 37 or pass here, Steve. I mean, I'm taking the under. I'm going to hold my breath and take the damn under in this game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the one thing that would obviously screw you a little bit is if Connor Cook plays well. We didn't see that last week against a very good Denver defense on the road. Now he'll be facing a pretty good Houston defense on the road, so you would doubt anything would change. Although he wasn't expected to play last week. He came in as the backup when McGlon got hurt. So, you know, he will have a full week to prep now.
I think it's a case of both coaches are scared of their quarterbacks.
Right, which
O'Brien doesn't like, we know this, he already benched him. Supposedly they got into a fight at halftime last week. Like, it's volatile. Like, they might even fire O'Brien. It's that bad there. It's like, it's volatile with him and Brock, and they got Lamar Miller. I think their attitude probably is just, don't screw this up, Brock. You know what I mean? And then Connor Cook, we don't know, like you said. I mean, if I'm Del Rio, I go aggressive, and I don't play just to not lose the game type of deal. I actually throw the ball and take my chances, but I don't think he'll do that. I think there'll be a lot of running, Steve.
Well, you know, the only thing we have to go on is the four preseason games he played in, and that doesn't mean a lot, although sometimes if a guy looks really good, like, for example, Dak Prescott looked good in the preseason. I remember when Tom Brady filled in for Bledsoe years ago, I had a play on the Patriots as a 10-point home dog against Indianapolis in that game. They ended up winning the Super Bowl that year with Brady. Brady had played well in the preseason, you know, so I had some confidence. You look at Connor Cook's four preseason games, quarterback rating of 53, which is awful. Zero touchdowns, three interceptions, 31 for 56, 55%.
Yeah.
All pretty bad numbers, which makes you really worry now against the starting defense on the road in the playoffs.
That's why you're at Pro Sports Info. That's some serious stuff. Check it out there. You're the first one all week that brought up Cook's preseason numbers.
That's all we got to look at. I mean,
you know what? I'm the one that brought up, though, the last time Connor Cook started a game, Steve, he got shut out by Alabama in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, how about this? 30 of his 56 passes came in the final game against Seattle when they were all backups, okay? So he was playing basically a backup defense. He went 15 for 30, 4.8 yards per pass, which is just atrocious, and a 50 rating. So I'd be very concerned.
You know what's insane? The Cowboys were going to take Connor Cook, but the Raiders took him one spot before, and
wow,
then they took Dak Prescott. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
True story, true story. All right, So, speaking of the Seahawks, we got the Lions and the Seahawks. Here's another tough one, because the Lions are 0-10 all time on the road in playoff history. If the Seahawks really aren't that good, is, you know, they're being valued on their reputation here, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, which Seattle team shows up? Is it the Seattle team that went to New England and won, or is it the Seattle team that went down to Tampa and didn't score an offensive touchdown? And keep in mind, that's the same Tampa defense a few weeks earlier that had given up over 600 yards to the Raiders, which is the worst in franchise history.
Yep.
So I still think Seattle's a very questionable offensive team. Now, granted, they have been a very strong team this year, and that's not a fluke. They have probably the strongest home field in football. It's worth several extra points probably come playoff time. And they are taking on a Detroit defense, which I think is a weak defense. They give up over 6 yards per play this year. The Lions have won almost the majority of their games were won in the fourth quarter. I mean, this is a team that really snuck into the playoffs. Is a very mediocre team overall. But laying 8 is dicey. I like the teaser here. Get Seattle down to -2 is a very solid teaser, because it basically is a straight up win situation. The problem, Gabe, is like, what else do we tie it up with this
Pittsburgh
week?
The next day. How's that? You got to wait overnight.
At 10, though, but we'd have to get it even down to 3 on a 7-pointer.
I'm going 7.
Three.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7 and exactly down. I know it sucks, but I would rather do that than try to force a total play. Now, I'm not going to lie. Steve, I think we can middle this one on a teaser. How about a Lions +16 teaser as well, or a +15?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think this game will be a high-scoring game. I think the Lions will be capable of moving the ball here, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some points late, and you might get a little backdoor cover on that teaser middle even.
I've been talking about me and Cam. Cam had a sweetheart 13-point teaser. We discussed how they're sucker bets. You must think they're sucker bets, right? The four-team 13-pointer?
Yeah, I mean, teasers in general are suckers because they're parlays.
That's what I would say.
Bet.
It's like,
right,
it's a parlay with crappy odds.
Right. The only reason two-team teasers, and I mean, I guess maybe a 3 or 4-pointer could be, I mean, the whole key to teasers, as you know, Gabe, is covering key numbers.
Yeah.
And when you're taking Seattle from -8 to -2, you've got 3, 4, 6, and 7, the most critical numbers working in your favor.
Or when we have a case like, okay, we think Seattle's going to win the game, and we think Pittsburgh's going to win the game, but we don't really want to lay the points, right? So, you know, the team.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah. I don't disagree with the Steelers. The problem is you can only get them down to 3, you know, and there's about a 10% chance they win
that.
By 3.
Okay,
no, at worst, you probably push.
Okay, Steve,
I don't disagree.
A six-point teaser is -120. The 7-point teaser is -130. So I just want to do the quick math here. a Seattle Seahawk Pittsburgh Steeler money line minus 194. I'd rather take my chances here with the minus 130, Steve.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's not a bad. I would just rather get Pittsburgh to 2.5, but obviously that's not happening. In fact, you probably should play it now because it might go to 10.5, and then you can't even get 3. At that point, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
if you get minus 3, you know, at worst, maybe you get a push.
So, what, you think the Dolphins hang around? They beat them earlier this year. What do you think happens in this one?
Yeah, I keep thinking back to that Baltimore Christmas night game. You know, when Pittsburgh was trading points, you just feel like the Dolphins might be able to do enough to keep it close. I don't see them winning the game on the road. Pittsburgh's been a team, as you know, for about a month and a half now. I've been talking about is my dark horse in the AFC. The defense concerns me a bit. I think this will be another game where there'll be some points. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami get something late. Tannehill is out. That was announced yesterday. Moore is going to be the quarterback. He's capable. But, yeah, I'd be surprised if Pittsburgh doesn't win this one at home.
Yeah, I think there's points as well, and I think it gets there. I think it's sort of the roles are reversed. It's 30-17 Pittsburgh this time, or you know, maybe even a little higher, 37-24, 37-21. Matt Moore can move the football. Dolphins have good wide receivers. I think they'll be playing catch up a little bit in this football game as well, which leads us into arguably the toughest game, or at least the game that we're getting arguments from both sides all week on this one, Steve. Eli Manning. You know the numbers, but for people tuning in or unaware, he's got as many career playoff wins in Lambeau as Aaron Rodgers does. Eli's 2-0 there. Aaron's 2-2. Eli's got more Super Bowls championships, 2-1. Eli is 8-1 straight up and against the spread in his last 9 playoff games, as crazy as that is. A lot of numbers. You talk about the Giants' defense, better defense wins and all this in the playoffs. Their secondary, then the injuries. The injuries to the Green Bay Packers secondary, you're getting 4.5 points. You can make a strong case for the New York Giants, but nobody's playing better football right now than Aaron Rodgers. I am leaning with the points here, though.
Yeah, it's just crazy how quickly things change in the NFL. Monday night, late November, Monday night after the Thanksgiving weekend, the Green Bay Packers played Philly in that Monday night game. The Packers are a 4-point road underdog at Philadelphia just 6 games ago.
Yeah.
Or you think back to midseason, the Bengals were a 2-point road favorite at Dallas in October. You know, I was on them
like an idiot.
I know. I just wish we could get in our hot tub time machine and just go back a couple weeks, let alone, you know, a month or two.
The Bengals were favored in that game. Yeah, it was 1.5, too. You're right, wasn't it?
And that was like mid-October. I mean, it wasn't like it was the second week of the season or anything. And what's crazy is Green Bay was a 4-point dog at Philly. Now they've won 6 straight after losing 4 in a row going into that game. And now they're a 4.5-point favorite in a playoff game at home against the Giants. Now go back to that same weekend. Thanksgiving weekend, the Giants beat the Cleveland Browns. They put up 27. The Giants have not scored more than 19 points in their last 5 games since that one.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, the Giants are not exactly playing good offense, but their defense has been very solid, like you said. They've held 3 of their last 4 opponents to 10 points or less. So
yeah,
you're getting a better defense here. The Packers are a very weak defensive team still. The question is, you know, can the Giants do enough offensively to keep it closer, pull the upset?
It's amazing, isn't it, with a team with Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, Rashad Jennings, and a beat-up secondary in Green Bay that we're concerned about the Giants' offense because of Eli Manning. It's amazing. I've never seen a 2-time Super Bowl champion be the weak link of his team like this. It's crazy. Like he's so unpredictable. And Steve, I don't want to repeat myself to the viewers, but Steve, like I said, the 2 times he won the Super Bowl, he threw 15 touchdowns and 2 interceptions during those playoff runs. 3 other times he's been in the playoffs, he's been 1-and-done, and he's thrown 2 touchdowns with 6 interceptions. There's like a good Eli and a bad Eli.
How about the Bengals once again? The Giants played the Bengals on Monday night, November 14th. And that game was a pick'em. And they only won by a point. It was at home. The Giants were only a pick'em against
because
the Bengals.
Because stupid people like me took the Bengals every week. They were like our year in review, who ruined your Sunday? It was nothing but the Bengals. I took the Bengals every week. Yeah.
I remember we talked about the game on that Monday game time decisions, and I'm going in, that's the game in which the Giants had rushed for like 50 or less in 3 games in a row, I think, going into that one. And they've run for 100 or more now in 6 of their last 8 games. The funny thing is they don't throw the ball well anymore. So it's just been a really bizarre offense. Like their running game wasn't there. Now their passing game's not there. You know, the question is, does it come together now in the playoffs?
All right, Steve, we don't have a ton of time left here. You and I will talk about the national championship game on Monday, but let's talk about the other one, Youngstown State and James Madison. Pretty strange, man. Like, Yeah, I'm just, I was like, oh, really? Is it the championship game? Where's North Dakota State? But they actually got bounced pretty early in the playoffs. You always have some great insight into the FCS, specifically in the Virginia-based teams, and that's what we got once again here. So James Madison, 7.5-point favorites against Youngstown State.
Yeah, Madison bumped them on the road in the semifinals as more than a touchdown dog. What was more surprising, that surprised me, but what was more surprising was the day after, Youngstown State goes into Eastern Washington in the other semifinal and wins as a 2-touchdown underdog outright.
Wow.
Youngstown lost at North Dakota State this year. Madison just went and beat them on the road. So Madison's the best team. This line, the look-ahead line about a week ago at one book I saw was 3, and they bumped it up to 6, and now everybody has a line at 7.5, and that's where it should be. That's actually what my power ratings make it. James Madison got the head coach from the Citadel this year. He's a first-year coach. He took the Citadel to the playoffs for a few years in a row. If you can win at the Citadel, you're a hell of a coach. And I'd be surprised if James Madison doesn't win the title here.
All right, Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. What are the covers experts? Always a pleasure, Steve. We'll speak on Monday before the big national championship rematch.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us, ProSportsInfo.com. We're going to come back with our DraftKings and DraftKings lineup and plays of the day. All right, it's time for our DraftKings lineup of the week. It's a tough week this week, guys, but I really like the lineup that I came up with. I put a lot of time into this one, like a mad scientist. I tried to get guys in, tried to get guys out, but when it's all said and done, Matt Moore is my quarterback, $5,100. That's right, Matt Moore. This guy's been on fire, man. 8 touchdown passes in the last 3 games. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to score a lot of points on Miami, and Miami are going to be playing catch-up football. I like Matt Moore at $5,100 because it gives me money to spend on Le'Veon Bell at the running back position. Rashad Jennings, the roll of the dice, $4,200. The deal with Rashad is Perkins is catching passes, but Rashad might be able to punch a touchdown or two in from the goal line. Jordy Nelson, $8,000. Yes, it's pricey. Yes, I know the Giants have a great secondary, but Aaron Rodgers got to throw the ball to somebody, man. And Jordy Nelson at $8,000 is in my lineup. Jermaine Kearse, had to take a shot with somebody here at $4,000. You know, I like Richardson at 38. Kearse a little bit more reliable in the $4,000 range. We're all have to roll the dice this week, guys. Kenny Stills stacked with Matt Moore. Who's going to own that? Nobody. But Kenny Stills, man, touchdowns in 5 of his last 6 games. Since Matt Moore's taken over, Stills has a touchdown in every damn game. Great connection, and they're going to be playing from behind. I think there's going to be some garbage points for Kenny Stills. Will Ty, why'd I take Will Ty? Because he was cheap, $2,800. And I was able to afford Odell Beckham Jr., $9,100. Yeah, it's expensive. I would have preferred Antonio Brown. But without being stated, if you paid attention to the Green Bay Packers, they gave up a Hail Mary at the end of that football game. Randall, questionable for the football game. The Quinton Rollins kid in the hospital, he ain't playing this week. Their secondary's beat up, man. I don't see how they're going to attain Odell Beckham Jr. And I'd rather spend money on the players than the defense. Yeah, the Dolphins defense probably to give up some points, but they might be able to sack Big Ben a couple of times. Maybe there's interception along the way. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours this weekend. Enjoy the games, guys.